Myron Metcalf, are you more of a Godzilla or a King Kong guy?
I like King Kong. I think it's more natural. You know, I think he relies just on brute strength. And you know, he's fearless. So I think I'm definitely more of a King Kong guy.
The reason I ask, of course, is because our friends at Warner Brothers could not have asked for a better billboard for their Godzilla King Kong crossover with what the men's NCAA tournament has set up for this championship game. Zach Edey, 7'4", 300 pounds.
That won't go. Rebound knocked around to Marcel. His shot rejected by Edey.
Never saw him.
Never.
And Edey just shaking his head as he walks up the floor.
Donovan Clingan, 7'2", 280 pounds.
Spencer to Clingan again. A two-hand slam on the right block. And Clingan willing the Huskies to the national title game again.
How excited are you for this particular episode of Godzilla vs. King Kong?
I'm excited, man, because I think it's a throwback matchup, right? I mean, this used to be the norm in the 80s and 90s where big men kind of ran college basketball. And then sort of the positionless basketball era took over and you just saw less of that because big men don't really want to be big men anymore. But these are 2 7-footers who know exactly who they are. I think you can make the case that Zach Edey is the best player in America, but Donovan Clingan has a case as well, considering how he's played throughout the tournament. So it's a superstar matchup, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Who do you think would be better on the basketball court, King Kong or Godzilla?
Oh, I think King Kong probably has handles. You know what I mean? Again, I think he's got court vision. Godzilla feels to me the dude who he wants to dunk on you. He's all about the highlights. But King Kong wants to get the job done in a more versatile way. I think it's King Kong for sure.
We already watched the monsters of the women's game give us the moment we all wanted. The best team, Dawn Staley's South Carolina, against the best player, Iowa's Caitlin Clark, in a battle for the national championship. And now that the credits have rolled on South Carolina's second title in 3 years, the men are ready to release the sequel. Because we've got the two best teams in men's college basketball, UConn and Purdue, facing off. And the two biggest beasts in the sport, Zach Edey and Donovan Clingan, set to do battle. So today, Myron Metcalf joins the show to explain how these two teams got to this point and tell us what we're going to see on the court tonight in the best big man showdown we've seen in a long time. I'm Clinton Yates. It's Monday, April 8th. This is ESPN Daily. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, Myron, before we dive into what we're going to see tonight, how about we take a step back and look at how both of these teams got here. We'll start with Purdue. They ended NC State's Cinderella ride and my man Jen Zebo. They turned them back into a pumpkin. How did it go down on Saturday night?
Well, I just think at the end of the day, you know, Zach Edey was too much. I mean, they kept throwing defender after defender at him.
Working around the perimeter, Jones, the transfer from Southern Illinois, inside Edey with the left hand. The sweeping hook.
And Matt, that was good defense right there, getting Edey off the block. But his length and his touch, he can shoot that left-handed hook now, confident going either way.
DJ Burns, man, at one point, he was just kind of looking up in the air like, what am I supposed to do?
Burns playing with one foul. Edey trying to use the body, massages it with the left hand.
The thing that you can see right away from my seat courtside was DJ Burns looking up at someone probably for the first time in his life, right? Like, DJ Burns is 6'9", 275, and he's staring up at Zach Edey. And just over the course of the game, whether it was him, Ben Middlebrooks, they just kept getting tired and more tired. It wasn't a great game for Purdue, but they just wear you out. And then they hit a bunch of threes, and NC State started 1-for-10 in the second half. I think NC State peaked. Give them an award. Build a DJ Burns statue. He has earned it, but Purdue is playing at a different level right now.
I don't want to get too far off on this, but I do want to acknowledge what the weekend was like in Raleigh for both the men's and the women's teams. And we've been talking so much about how the men's tournament has no juice. DJ Burns has personality. He was fun to watch. What was your takeaway from that weekend in terms of what was happening around the NC State world?
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun ride, man. I mean, to win all those games in a row, to know you had to win the ACC tournament to even get in, and then to come into the tournament, beat Duke a second time during this run, it was amazing. I mean, it literally is still, to me, a documentary, what they were able to achieve after going 2-7 in their last nine games. And what I appreciated about DJ Burns was, yes, there's a personality there. That's undeniable. Coming out with the boombox, rapping, all that stuff. But he's a highly skilled player. And I think that's where the respect came, when guys like Jokic and others appreciated his game. Shaq was in the front row sitting behind me at that matchup. You could tell he appreciated everything that DJ Burns was about. High IQ guy, great passer, good feel for the game. So it's like, you know, big man can shine too. And I think DJ Burns showed that.
Let's get back to the national championship matchup. We all know what happened. Purdue became the second number one to lose to a 16 seed in tournament history. Just like Virginia, who fell to UMBC in 2018, Purdue's found their way back to the championship game this season. That alone is hard enough to do from a mental standpoint. Virginia completed the task, however, in their redemption tour. What do you think Purdue has to do to get over that hump in terms of completing that final piece? And I mean this from a mental standpoint, staying together. You're around a lot of college teams, Myron, just in terms of their composure once they get out there.
They got to play a perfect game. And I think the great thing about Purdue is they haven't, you know, tried to escape the shadow of last year's loss. I mean, they haven't been a team that's like, hey, we don't want to hear about that anymore. Stop talking about it. They've confronted it. And let's be clear, what happened to Purdue was worse than what happened to Virginia. Purdue lost to Fairleigh Dickinson. Who was Fairleigh Dickinson? A team that did not win its conference tournament. Fairleigh Dickinson lost to Merrimack in the Northeast Conference tournament. Merrimack won the championship, but Merrimack is transitioning to Division I athletics, so they're ineligible to compete in the NCAA tournament. So the league had to send the runner-up in Fairleigh Dickinson. So that was literally the first team in NCAA history that had ever gotten into the NCAA tournament without actually earning it in some way. So that was even worse than losing to UMBC the way Virginia did. So it was the worst upset in NCAA history, and Purdue recognized that. I think they digested it. They talked about it, and they got to this moment here because they're a very good team. They spent the offseason working hard to improve on some of their weaknesses, and now they're here. But let's be honest. Now you're meeting Mike Tyson, right? I mean, you've earned your title shot, and that's a beautiful story. But the team standing across from you doesn't care about your dreams. They don't care about the Purdue Disney documentary. They're here to thump you the way they have everybody else that stood in their way, and that's a tall task for anybody that's playing right now.
Those UConn Huskies are, of course, the defending champs, and they've been the best team in college basketball for the men all season long, no doubt about it. They beat Alabama 86-72. They were banging people out by 30 earlier in the tournament. It was their sixth consecutive double-digit victory. This team is also undefeated in title games in its history. What did you see from them in the Final Four that led you to the point of thinking they have the best shot?
Alabama played a great first half. Alabama hit 73% of their three-point attempts in the first half, 73%. Alabama, with 12 minutes to play, was tied 56-56 with UConn. And then UConn goes on a 30-16 run, and they win by double digits. The problem with playing UConn is you have to play a perfect game to win against them. They don't have to. And they just have so much depth. They just have so much talent across the board, size, everything you name it. They can beat you in a variety of ways. I just think they're one of the more dominant forces I've ever covered. They're, to me, in the same vein as 2012 Kentucky, 2018 Villanova, some of those teams that really stomped their opponents. I think UConn is in that category with the dominance we've seen. Plus 125 point differential through five games of the NCAA tournament. Second best in NCAA tournament history behind who? The 1999 Duke team that lost to UConn in the national championship game. So this is historic if they win on Monday night with the dominance they've displayed.
Getting to the chalk talk on the court, though. Here's the thing. UConn can go against Zach Edey without needing to commit to double teams at all. That's how big Donovan Clingan is in terms of him being a big man in the paint. Forget the allegories of Godzilla versus King Kong. What is this actually going to look like, big man to big man in the painted area?
Yeah, I'm a big wrestling fan. I remember when, Giant Gonzalez fought The Undertaker, you know, and they got to the, you know, the center of the ring, and it was like they were looking eye to eye. And Zach Edey hasn't had that scenario. He hasn't looked anyone eye to eye throughout this tournament, but he essentially will against Donovan Clingan. The challenge against Zach Edey, who is 7'4", 290 pounds, right? And probably even heavier than that, is no one's that big. So everybody just tries to lean on him. And the way they defend Zach Edey is they say, okay, I'm going to commit to stopping you from getting to where you want to get to in the post. I'm going to lean on you, push you. That's how I'm going to defend you because I can't go over the top of you. You're too big. And that just hasn't worked for anybody because at 7'4", 290, you go where you want to go, really anywhere in life, not even just on the basketball court. With Donovan Clingan, it's unique because he can play with his length. He can guard Edey straight up, hands in the air, I dare you to shoot over me kind of thing. And that just hasn't been something that Zach Edey has faced. So it's going to be unique in terms of the way Donovan Clingan can defend him compared to what he's seen throughout the NCAA tournament so far.
The other side of that, though, is how Clingan can operate. Over the last two seasons, the way the stats shake out, Edey's numbers don't change a ton between points, field goal percentage, and his blocks and rebounds when there's another 7-footer on the court. For Clingan, when there's a 7-footer on the court, it's a much more difficult role for him. How do you think he's going to look offensively?
I think he's got to figure it out, too, because Edey's become a better defender this year. He's more mobile, more agile, and I think you've seen that in his growth this season. But I think with Clingan, the difference is he doesn't have to be a star for UConn to win offensively. I think if you're Dan Hurley, you're saying, listen, man, you have one job, and your job is to make sure you defend Zach Edey straight up without committing those early fouls. Tennessee played Zach Edey and Purdue two times this season. Tennessee committed 55 fouls in two games against Purdue. The problem with Clingan is, yes, he can defend Zach Edey, but it's so easy to pick up those early fouls. And I think Dan Hurley's saying that's your goal. Don't get into early foul trouble. Defend Zach Edey. We'll take care of the rest. So it'll be a tall task for him too offensively, but he's not dealing with any pressure, I don't think, offensively because of the star power around him. They can win if he has a sloppy offensive game. They can't win if he has a sloppy defensive game.
Purdue is arguably the most underachieving big-time program, I would say, in Power 5 college basketball. They've won a ton of conference championships. They've never won a national title. Never mind their conference, the Big Ten hasn't won anything in a long time. How important do you think this is to that program overall and kind of the conference if they can manage to get over this hump in general, never mind just sort of bringing home a ring to knock off the mighty UConn?
The thing about Purdue that's probably the most disappointing thing if you're a fan is how many times they've been close. I mean, in the mid-90s, they had Glenn Big Dog Robinson, one of my favorite players, the Wooden Award winner, next to Konzo Martin. That was a team that could have won a national championship. You go back to 2009, 2010, Robbie Hummel, Juwan Johnson, Etuan Moore, who played in the NBA. That was going to be a national championship team in 2010, the year that Duke won it. Robbie Hummel tears his ACL a month before the NCAA tournament. Carson Edwards a few years ago and what he nearly did in helping Purdue almost knock off Virginia. So I think you have a lot of moments throughout Purdue's recent history where they could have made that run. It just hasn't worked out for them. So I think that almost adds to the disappointment because Purdue has been close before. And then obviously last year when you have a top seed and you lose to a 16 seed. But this feels different. This is one of the best three-point shooting teams in America, top 15 defensively, and you got the best team, the best player in America in Zach Edey. So all of the factors are there. But now if you're a Purdue fan, Clinton, you're going, now we got to beat Mike Tyson in his prime, right? We have it all. We are so good. We got everything you'd want for a championship team, and we got to go through that team to get to a title. It almost feels unfair considering all the situations they've been in as a program.
You know, on the other side, speaking of programs, I feel like I don't want to say there's not enough talk about Dan Hurley, but he's got kind of a legacy name without a super legacy career at this point, but it's also reached the highest point rather quickly. Is it possible that A, he's somehow underrated, and B, is it out of pocket to call him the best coach in America?
I don't think so at all. I mean, I think he is the best coach in America right now. I mean, if you were starting a college team, I think you would pick Dan Hurley. You know, I mean, maybe a couple of years ago, it would have been Cal, K, Roy Williams, Jay Wright, that crew. But a guy who's on the verge of winning his second national championship in a row, I think you have to put him in that space, kind of like you put Billy Donovan in that space when he won back-to-back championships with Florida. So I think Hurley is definitely that guy. And what he has done, and maybe this will feel blasphemous to some of these fan bases, but if he wins a second national championship in a row, it's more impressive than what Coach K did at Duke with Christian Laettner, and it's more impressive than what Billy Donovan did at Florida. Those are 2 and 3 to what this back-to-back run would be, and I'll tell you why. Because he's doing it with different teams. He's taken different personnel. He had to mold this group. Stephen Castle was hurt earlier in the season. Tristan Newton wasn't the All-American for this team last year. Donovan Klingon was a young dude a year ago. Still figuring it out. Really good player, not the player you're seeing today. So he had to put together a new team to get back to this moment. That's more impressive than doing it with Christian Laettner, who comes back for multiple years. That's more impressive than doing it with Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer, and Al Horford at Florida, who came back for another year. To do this in the transfer portal NIL era, where nobody can keep a team together, Dan Hurley's back-to-back run is the most impressive back-to-back run if he achieves it over the last 30 years.
I could talk for hours about Dan Hurley, but I just feel that like, well, you know what the thing is, Myron? He so much embodies what the modern coach looks like. In touch with his fan base, yeah. Understands the portal, has a little bit of an edge, but isn't the outright full-blown old school a-hole type that we've seen before. I really like him, even though I don't particularly care if they win or lose.
Yeah, he's got a self-awareness that I think is unique. I mean, I've been around Dan Hurley, done a bunch of games for TV with UConn. He's a dude that knows he has an arrogance and confidence about him, but he'll also tell you about all of his insecurities. I mean, I haven't seen many coaches like Dan Hurley who will sit down and talk to you for 30 minutes and tell you about going to therapy, you know, and how he had to calm down, how he had to learn new ways to approach life, to approach coaching. So I think he represents the self-aware coach of the modern era, where it's not just about talking down to you, instructing you. It's about saying, hey, I'm like you too, just trying to figure it out. And I think his team gravitates to that. And also, he's not saying, well, maybe we'll win. He's saying, we're going to go out and knock out anybody who's in front of us. And I think it's almost like a Don King thing with him, the way he promotes himself and his team. And they just buy into that, man. And it is fascinating to watch teams lose confidence. Alabama did this on Saturday, as UConn is gaining confidence. It's an amazing thing to watch.
My buddy says, when UConn presses the UConn button, men's or women's, it's hard to beat them.
Yes, it's over if they push that button.
Coming up, we'll say goodnight to Alabama and NC State. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist
who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Let's hand out some flowers here, Myron. Just because a couple teams went down doesn't mean they aren't worth talking about. We discussed DJ Burns earlier in the show. Again, Gen Zebo is the best nickname of a century, as far as I'm concerned. But for those who did not see this run coming, can you talk a little bit more about what this was like for this team, for that town, and frankly, for the ACC to have a representative like this?
Let's be clear. Kevin Keats probably gets fired without this run. Like, those weren't rumors. It was the truth. I mean, he was on a hot seat. That was getting hotter. This team went 2-7 in its last 9 games before the ACC tournament. Anybody who lies and says they knew this was coming? No way. There's no chance. I don't think NC State saw this coming. So to see a team that just limped into the postseason, win the ACC tournament against Duke and North Carolina. I mean, you're not playing, no offense, in the Missouri Valley Conference, where maybe everyone's kind of on the same level. You're dealing with a team with lottery picks and All-Americans and 5-star recruits. You run through the ACC tournament. Then you get to the NCAA tournament. You got to beat Duke again in order to advance? Well, that's not going to happen. And then they do. So it just was a team of destiny. And there aren't any fancy numbers to tell you how NC State did it, other than just their sheer will. Like, I see it as, I'm a big boxing guy, right? For 9 rounds, all the fights were even. But in rounds 10 through 12, they beat you. And they won a decision. And they just got really good at having more will than the teams in front of them. And they were just saying, we're not going to be outworked. And it just really, I think, changed the face of that program. I've never seen a program go from done, potentially, maybe a new coach, to changing the perception of the entire program in a matter of weeks.
We talked about people that are more suited for the modern era. DJ Burns strikes me as one of those kids, too. Player of the year in the Big South, transfers to NC State. How happy have you been to see his personal journey come to what it is in terms of not just the skill player he is, but the young man he is as well?
Man, I love to see him just as a young man who seems to love everybody on that team, and everybody loves him. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with DJ Burns. I know if he lives in Raleigh, he'll never buy a meal. He'll never worry about a job. I mean, he just has to, whenever he's done with basketball, move back to Raleigh. You'll be set. But I just love the way that everybody seemed to gravitate to him, man. If you watch him in games, when he would come off the court and go to the sideline, he didn't just go sit in his chair or go to the end of the bench and kind of he's in his own world. He would be high-fiving managers and trainers and people who don't even play. And that's the most impressive thing to me, for a guy to understand that his success was not his own, and to really make it a team thing. We made it about DJ Burns. DJ Burns was trying to put the attention on his team. And that's going to be something that impacts him for the rest of his life. I just think he's a good dude. And I just love seeing him enjoy the spoils of that.
In the sport I cover most, baseball, they say that kind of attitude is big league. Yeah. By the way, moving along to Alabama basketball. I mean, I think that this is such an underrated story because, number one, we all know that Alabama is a football school. When people make features about people playing basketball at Alabama, it's Nick Saban and his coaches in their midday basketball league, not what the actual team is doing. You couple that with the controversy that happened a couple years ago that was very unfortunate, and people kind of thought, what's actually happening there? Next thing you know, they make their first Final Four ever. In terms of the
overall perspective of what they've done, how far do you think that program has come in the last couple seasons?
They've come very far. And Nate Oates has an approach that is important and that will affect the future of basketball. I'll make this statement and you can relate. And it might sound outlandish, but give it a few years. This is college basketball's money ball moment. Alabama. I'm going to tell you what they're doing. On the court, it's all analytics. They don't shoot mid-range jumpers. Almost 50% of their shots are three-pointers. Layups. Everything Nate Oates does is analytics. What else is Nate Oates doing? Nate Oates, and he's not the only one, but I think he's leading the charge, is calculating everybody's value. What you're hearing more and more from coaches is, okay, $200,000 from NIL? Okay. Let's see how that translates to the court. You have more and more coaches and programs that are tying NIL to value, and that value is based on your impact according to the analytics. We are about to go through a revolution that goes beyond, let's just shoot a bunch of threes like the Golden State Warriors. We are heading into college basketball players as pros who are measured that way. Your compensation is going to be about your value. Your value is going to be what the analytics say your value is, and that's what that Alabama team is. What he figured out was if we shoot threes at a high rate, we hit them at a high rate, we focus on shots around the rim, and we gradually improve our defense, which was terrible most of the season but got better in the NCAA tournament, we can be a champion. And guess what? It nearly worked. The only reason it didn't work is because they had to face UConn. So I actually think Nate Oates will be someone, as crazy as it sounds, that we're writing about 30, 40 years from now because of his analytics approach to the game and because of how he is tying and understanding value of everybody he puts on his roster. And that is the new wave.
Last thing I'll ask you, I know you're a busy man between watching games at home, sitting in front of Shaquille O'Neal. Nice name drop, by the way. But of course, there's also the NIT, the other invitational tournament going on. Seton Hall, they took the title. They beat Indiana State. What was covering that tournament like for those who don't know?
It was fun, man. I mean, Indiana State showed up, sold out the Hinkle Fieldhouse. I couldn't hear. I mean, I was doing TV, obviously. At the end of the game, the championship, I couldn't hear what my producer was saying in my ear. And I had it turned up, you know? That's how loud it was, man. But those fans really just loved that moment, made the most of it. And it reminds you, man, that like good basketball is good basketball. And when you get a crowd like that, an environment like that, it reminds you of how lucky we are to be able to cover these sports. Because as much as I was working for TV, I also felt like a fan who was just watching this incredible action, this incredible game, and this really passionate fan base that was really enjoying that moment.
Well, okay, the mandatory, the true get you out is, of course, which one of these 7-footers is going to be standing on their own 2 feet to cut down the nets on Monday night?
You know what? I think my heart says bet the story, which Purdue redemption, you know, after last year, that's a hell of a story, right? But my mind says you can't bet against one of the most dominant teams we've ever seen in college basketball. That is UConn. UConn is just too good. And that's been the case all season outside of 3 nights when they lost games. Beyond that, that has been true. And I think it'll be true again Monday night. Again, to me, it's not even them winning. It's can they win in another dominant performance over Zach Edey and Purdue? It's possible because I think that's how high their ceiling is.
To quote the great Bill Raftery, this is a lesson in life out there, young athletes and journos. Get the puppies organized. Thank you, Myron.
Thank you.
I'm Clinton Yates. This has been ESPN Daily. We'll talk to you tomorrow, kiddos.